and welcome to the Reorg Europe podcast, your weekly roundup of the most interesting trends and developments in performing credit, stressed and distressed, restructuring, and post-reorg in the European and CMEA markets. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, and I'm Andrew Ross. Coming up this week, we're going to delve into Sweden-headquartered Heimstad & Bostad, one of Europe's largest real estate companies, and its potential equity raise amidst looming debt maturities and shareholder concerns. Then we will discuss chemicals producer OQ Chemicals, which saw its term loans rally back into the low 90s after hedge funds started buying into the debt. Finally, we will run through the key highlights in the primary market this past week. Joining us to discuss Heimstad & Bostad is our credit analyst, Shenda Xu. Hi, Shenda. Let's dive straight in. Can you provide some insight into Heimstad & Bostad's current financial situation and the significance of its upcoming equity raise?
Hi, Andrew. Absolutely. Heimstad & Bostad is facing debt maturity of about 35 billion Swedish krona, which is about 3.2 billion US dollars for 2024 and 2025. The company's strategy to address this maturity primarily revolves around an equity raise from its major shareholder, Alecta, a Swedish pension fund. The company's interest coverage ratio is very low at 1.7 times, already below its financial policy of about 1.8 times. We expect this to further decline as the company rolls over its near-term loans with higher coupons. So an equity raise is crucial for their financial stability. However, there are a few challenges at play here. Last year, Sweden's Financial Supervisory Authority reported certain individuals to the police in connection with Alecta's investment in Heimstad & Bostad. And Alecta said they have not taken notes of the police report and are now awaiting the process. Besides the investigation, the delay of the equity raise is also because of the negotiation for a shareholder agreement. Alecta says the current shareholders' agreement is not optimal for them, very unbalanced to their disadvantage, and therefore they're now working for better overall terms. Currently, Alecta owns 39% of shares in Heimstad & Bostad and has just 30% voting rights, while Heimstad AB, the holding company of Heimstad & Bostad, owns 41% of shares and has 50.1% voting rights.
How do you see the situation affecting the company's credit rating?
There is a real risk of credit ratings downgrade if Heimstad & Bostad doesn't find a solution to its debt maturity soon. Currently rated at BBB-, any downgrade could have significant implications for the company's financial health.
What are the potential outcomes of the equity raise for Heimstad & Bostad and its shareholders?
Well, an equity raise could provide much needed relief for the company's debt obligations and help stabilize its financial position. However, it's essential to ensure that all the shareholders are aligned and that any agreement reached are in the best interest of the company and its stakeholders.
Apart from the equity raise, what other strategies is Heimstad & Bostad employing to address its financial challenges?
The company also has a privatization program in place, aiming to sell off a portion of its portfolio to private homeowners. This could help generate additional funds to ease the pressure of their near-term debt maturities.
And how do you see Heimstad & Bostad navigating through these challenges in the coming months?
So it's going to be a complex process, but with careful negotiations and strategic planning, Heimstad has the potential to overcome these obstacles and emerge stronger. However, the outcome will largely depend on the resolution of the ongoing investigations and the willingness of all stakeholders to cooperate. The company will be releasing its Q1 results and hosting a call tomorrow, so we'll see if there is any update on the shareholders' support and the progress of its privatization plan.
Thank you, Shenda. We're now joined by reporter Farouk Baloch. Hi, Farouk. You reported last week that German chemical producer OQ Chemicals term loan rallied back into the low 90s. Could you tell us what triggered this rally and what in notes were down in the first place?
Hello, Andrew. Sure, the term loans traded up after three hedge funds, including SVP, started buying into the debt, but only around 15 million euros of the loans have traded so far, mainly through a 14.6 million BWIC run by Deutsche Bank, which means the funds have only managed to get initial foothold in the group's roughly 800 million net debt as of December. This is a sharp recovery from the mid-70s at the start of April, when the loans had dived around 20 points after parent OQ Group decided to walk away midway through the company's attempt to secure an A&E and withdraw its previous and new money commitments.
Thanks, Farooq. Could you tell us why shareholders walked away from their commitment?
Well, lenders are still in the dark about it. But if you look at the deal's history, OQ Group invested around 700 million euros in 2013 to acquire the company, then called Oxeya, from Advent, and invested another 300 million in 2015 to repay the group's second lien debt. So it is facing a loss of over 1 billion on its investment. Most likely, OQ Group realized it overpaid for the asset and was unlikely to recover the additional investment required to facilitate the A&E, and perhaps decided to make a rational economic decision, given that OQ Chemicals is around 6x net levered and likely only worth around 5x.
And lastly, what is driving investors' interest in this situation now?
Well, market is speculating that Oxeya's former sponsor Advent International is considering making a bid for the company. In addition to being familiar with the asset, Advent is also dependent on OQ Chemicals through its portfolio company, Rome. And Rome is building a new large-scale chemical plant in Bay City, Texas, called Project Lima, at OQ Chemicals production site. The plant will be supplied with key raw materials, site services, and utilities by OQ Chemicals. However, given that Advent already owns both Rome as well as engineered materials producer Envalio, it is already heavily exposed to the sector, which could limit its ability to acquire another chemicals asset. Additionally, Apollo's private equity arm could also potentially bid for the company, given that the group's direct lending arm had been willing to provide a private credit solution as a backup during the company's A&E process before OQ Group pulled out. As of now, there is no sale process and no bids have been launched, with lenders still in the process of deciding their next steps after forming an ad hoc group that includes Golden Tree, CVC, BlackRock, Invesco, and PGIM.
We are now joined by leveraged finance reporter Beatrice Mervolian. Hi, Beatrice. What's been happening in the primary market this past week?
There are bonds in the market for financial software company Iron Corporates, for telecom company Iliad, and auto component manufacturer Mahle. And most of these proceeds are going to be used for refinancing and debt repayment. Although investors were a little bit wary of Iron's history of aggressive financial policy with lots of distributions to shareholders made using the company's kind of complex corporate structure, and they're also kind of wary of Mahle because of the group's exposure to internal combustion engines and kind of choppy free cash flow generation and EBITDA, the high-yield investors have faced relatively limited issuance for most of this year so far, with the boost, kind of the increase in issuance coming in recent weeks. So they're still kind of very keen to put money to work, which will probably help get these deals across the line. There are also a number of loans being marketed by issuers, including Nomad Foods, Asda, Entain, Motel One, and House of HR, with most of these deals at the moment are being repricings.
Join Reorg on Friday, April 26th at 2 p.m. BST for the webinar Sovereign Debt Restructuring, exploring the common frameworks, growing pains, and the rise of value recovery instruments, as we delve into key takeaways from Zambia's common framework debt restructuring and explore the rise of value recovery instruments. Register now at reorg.com/events or email marketing@reorg.com for more information. More information on all the situations and events discussed in this podcast are available on our website, reorg.com. We hope you can join us soon for another Reorg Europe podcast. Until then, have a great week and thank you very much for listening.